Welcome to the Water Podcast, episode 1 for May 20th, 2008. I am Željko Filipin. Today Brett Pettigord and I will be talking about what is water. Brett, please tell us something about you.
Hi, well, as you know, I'm one of the lead developers on the Water Project, and I've been working on it for many years. I'm really happy that you asked me to speak with you today about it. And for those of you who don't know Željko, he's been very active in the water community himself. He does water as his day job, and he also spends a lot of time answering questions on the list and helping lots of people get started with water.
What is water?
Well, water is a testing tool that a lot of people have used to successfully automate their testing for their web applications.
Can you tell me a little bit of history?
Sure. It's been part of a project that went been around for quite a while. Several years ago, I was both getting involved in Ruby, and I was also I had been doing a lot of consulting and training with people and doing a lot of automation with lots of different tools. And one of the things I found, I had a class that I had was all kind of a lecture class about automation concepts. And I found that people really wanted a hands-on class, and that's what people needed in order to learn what I thought they needed to know about automation. So we actually took something called the IE controller that Chris Morris had developed, which was a Ruby-based tool for automating the IE web browser. And we built a library on top of that and used that for a training class that was a hands-on class about automation concepts.
IE controller is still at RubyForge, right?
Yeah, it's still, and if you look on RubyForge, if you look it in there, you'll see it hasn't been touched in years, but the original tool that Water was based on is still there, and you can take a look at it, and there's some interesting differences between it and Water. We used that for a couple years, and I basically built a wrapper around that tool to make it a little more user-friendly for the people taking the class, and then a couple years later, I sat down with Paul Rogers, and we kind of laid out a plan for how to kind of build a new tool from scratch that would work that way, and essentially take this wrapper layer and kind of build that out as the core API for the new tool, which we called Water.
Why did you choose the name Water?
Well, originally the project was called Web Testing in Ruby, or WTR, and we saw this as a constellation of different tools, and we had actually, part of that project, we had a couple different versions of it. So it was just really a slight variation of that name. We said we'd do something a little bit, so instead of web testing in Ruby, it became web application testing in Ruby, and it became a little more pronounceable. We actually called it Watir for about, 6 months or so until we realized that it sounded really idiotic, and so we started pronouncing it Water from then on.
A lot of puns came from the name.
It has been an amazing amount of punning that's come out of it. It's been rather rather amusing.
Can you tell me what water is not? What didn't you try to solve with water?
So, well, there's a couple things. One is, first, water is only for testing web applications. It's not for testing a GUI app. And water is just, the way it's built, it's structured technically, it's a library. It's a Ruby library. It's not a full-featured testing tool. It's not a framework. People build their own frameworks with water, and a lot of people do that. And there's been a lot of discussion in the community about how to do that. But right now, that's something that users have to figure out. We have not ever officially packaged a recorder with water. Our general feeling has been that it's not really what we're looking for, and it's not what testers actually need to be successful. There's an ongoing fascination with recorders, and several water recorders have been built, and anyone's welcome to do that. There's recorders for other tools as well. But what we found is that the recorder is very difficult to make a good recorder. It's pretty easy to make a kind of so-so recorder, and that's what we have a lot of. And you have to know how to use water as a tool. The people just don't invest a lot of time into the recorders for that reason.
I remember one time when recorders were gaining popularity for water, there was a lot of questions about how do I do this in a water recorder, and I remember you weren't so pleased with recorders at the time.
Well, there was a time a while ago where someone built as a commercial offering. So it was not an open source recorder. It was a free commercial recorder, and he basically released it and then expected us to support it. And that was what kind of got my ire. It was one thing for him to do this, which is fine if he wants to. But then when he was asking us to, and what was happening is it was not correctly recording things, but people would come to us, and they don't know water. They're brand new to the tool. They get the recorder. They record something. They create it. It creates a script, and then they run the script, and it doesn't work. And so the way the perception was like the recorder worked, but water isn't. When in fact the recorder was not recording the script correctly, but because it kicks out a script, as far as they can tell, it's working. They see a script. As far as they can tell, it looks right. They don't know. And, understanding why it doesn't work, it shows up. So that's been another concern for me as well, is that, and this is just something I've seen with the testing tools in general. If their recorders aren't good, it makes people think the tool isn't good. So, and that was kind of the problem we had with this one here. It was just, he didn't fully understand all the syntax for water and was making some incorrect assumptions about things. And since his code was closed source, the only way that you could figure this stuff out was by trying it out yourself on the websites. It became very hard to reproduce problems that people were having. And, so anyway, we kind of called him on that when he said that we should be supporting his tool. And, since then we have had some open source ones, and they've had, some on and off support, but I don't know of anyone in the water community who's really said, hey, I want to help support this tool or whatever. So all the open source recorders that are out there, as far as I know, they're just kind of experiments. People try them out, and when people have trouble with them, they can't really get. There's no one to really give them help with it. It's kind of like, well, I guess you've learned enough now. Now it's time to write your own scripts.
I didn't find them useful. Let's move on.
Yeah.
What's easy to do with water?
Well, I think the easiest thing to do with water is to build a framework for testing, because water is written in Ruby, and because Ruby is has a clean syntax, it's an object-oriented language, and people can use it. It's very, very easy to build frameworks to do data-driven testing, to do all kinds of things. And in fact, we're getting more and more people in the community are building different pieces of this, and so that makes it even easier to assemble the framework and the system that you're going to use out of these different components.
What water can test?
Well, it can test regular web applications. It works well with kind of traditional web interfaces. It also works well with Web 2.0 Ajax-style web interfaces. It does not support Java applets, so we get that question a lot. People want to know if they can do Java applets. It doesn't work there. Some interest has been coming in Flex lately, and there is another component that's not part of water, but that integrates well with water, that's called FunFX, and I know some people have been using that with success. So, that's part of the thing, too. What does water do? Well, are we talking about what can people do, in the whole ecosystem, or what can they do with just a tool? Another area that water has worked for a lot of people is that it supports SSH and pretty much is able to test almost any type of website. Some of the other tools don't work well with things like SSH and all.
Water is just a Ruby library that drives a browser. So anything that browser can do, water can do, right?
Well, pretty much that's true. Water does not automate all the menus on the browser, and some people have been able to do that using an AutoIt, which is a tool which we bundle with water. And so some people will go in and get to all the different menus and stuff on IE. The other big, actually, area of interest is testing on Firefox. And as you know, that's an area we're trying to do a lot better right now. There is a version of water called FireWater that does provide support for Firefox. There's been some inconsistencies between that and water, and we're in the process right now of pulling those projects back together and getting rid of those inconsistencies so that people have when I ran a test suite on a recent project, we tried running on FireWater. We ran into 5 specific issues that our water tests had trouble with FireWater. And so, one solution would have been to go in and wrap all those so that we could have one syntax and create our own kind of wrap around the two. But that's really a hack. And the right thing to do is to make it so that in all those 5 situations, the actual tools work exactly the same, and then people don't have to wrap them. So that's the big project that we're working on right now.
What water cannot test? What can it test but has a problem with it?
Well, we've listed some of them. Another area, and maybe this is what you're fishing for, because I know you've talked to me about this privately, is the problem of dialogues. Water is able to work with various dialogues, but the support for it is a little dodgy, and people often run into trouble with that. So we'd like to see that improved as well.
I was thinking about a framework that has, test unit or RSpec and something like for driving tests and something like Rasta for data driven.
Yeah, no, I mean those are important things. And right now, I think one of the biggest hurdles for people using water is that you essentially have to put together a framework. And there's a lot of great tools, like you mentioned, Rasta and RSpec and test unit that people are able to use for building these frameworks. But you essentially have to go and understand these different pieces and put them together. And there's a lot of discussion in the community about doing that right now. As you know, I've recently founded a new company called Watercraft with Pete Dignan. And that's one of the things that we're looking at in terms of providing a commercial type of framework that will prepackage all these different components together in a certain way and give people one possible solution for how they would do it. I think people will still want to modify it and do different things. But to get up and running faster, there's a lot of people that don't want to have to bake their own framework. And that's what we're going to be looking at doing.
This commercial version will be, users will get the source so they could modify it?
I don't even know, exactly how we're going to do that. Probably that's true. Right now it's just just a plan. So I can't even say where the code's going to live or how we're going to work it out. And, I've built frameworks on a couple projects recently, and a lot of other people have built frameworks. So we're going to take the best ideas from these different frameworks and find a way to pull it together.
One another good tool that I use a lot is T-Mail for testing mail. I have application that sends and I test application that sends and receives mails. So instead of doing it from Ruby directly, I use a T-Mail. That's another good tool. I don't know if you've heard about it.
I haven't heard about T-Mail, but we have had a lot of discussions about adding email testing into the tool suite for water. That's another common thing. Most people have to do. Most apps these days will generate emails, and people need to be able to validate them. That's an area right now where, people have to do a lot of building tools to test that, and we think they would prefer having just a very simple water-like solution that would just have a mail client, and they could use water-like syntax to validate that emails were sent correctly.
You should take a look at T-Mail. It's a good library.
Is it Ruby?
Yeah, Ruby.
Okay.
Not to get too off topic, it's Rails were using it, but now they are a separate gem.
Oh. Yeah, my last project was a Rails project. So what we did is we tested emails by directly accessing ActiveMailer, and so that was what we used. For non-Rails projects, it's probably not a good solution, but that's what I have experience using recently.
How would you compare water with other tools, open and closed source?
Well, I guess there's how I would compare it, and there's how other people would compare it. What we're seeing, we're hearing more and more reports that inside the companies that sell commercial tools, water's becoming very popular. So that says something about the attraction of the tool, that you've got people. We're also running into many people who already have licenses provided for them with their companies, have purchased at great expense. And so whether these are people are customers or whether they're the vendors themselves, these people are choosing water over them. So there's obviously a big attraction that people have for it. I think it has to do with the fact that it's in a real language and that it's very customizable. I think that's been a big Achilles heel of the commercial tools, is that they have really resisted the customization. They've tried to put their users into a box, and people don't want to be in that box.
Why did you choose Ruby for what?
Well, I don't know that I chose it. I think that was Brian Merrick's choice. I was I really started working on this project and when I was kind of doing some stuff in Python and some stuff in Ruby, and when I started working on this, Python was a lot more popular, and I just convinced one of my clients that I'd done a whole bunch of Python work with them, and they now were listing, you know, testing tools required Python. That was what they thought it was after I was done working with them. So, but he got convinced to start looking at Ruby from Dave Thomas. And then when several years ago, Brian and I co-taught a class on scripting for testers. So it's essentially that same class had two major spinoffs. One was the Ruby testing tool, which is what came out of that class from my involvement. And the other was Brian's book, Everyday Scripting with Ruby, which very much takes the intent of that class and takes it in a little different direction. And so he came out with that book, which I recommend to any water user to read. It's a great book on how to use Ruby. And it's got a lot of stuff in there about how to think like a developer and how to kind of organize your projects. It doesn't really talk much about water itself. I think it's only a page or two. It's really much more of a book on scripting and how to think programmatically about everyday tasks that I think testers will be able to relate to.
I've read the book too, and there's even talk about how to start coding in test-driven development way.
Right.
Why did you choose open source for water?
So I would say in the about 2002 or so, I was becoming increasingly dissatisfied with the commercial tools. I'd published some criticisms of them, and I started looking at open source. There was a tool called SAFS, which Carl Nagel had started up, and that was a testing framework that was open source. And so I started learning, talking to some of the people involved in open source, and looking at it, and it seemed to me really consistent with the type of community building that I had really been introduced to by Kem Kaner. And the Lost Workshops, where testers were coming together and sharing ideas, and where we had kind of open agreements to share the ideas we had each other. And I felt like we needed something that with testing tools, that at that point we had very balkanized sets of arrangement. The Mercury was at that point the leading vendors. They may still be today. And they've been very restrictive about allowing people to publish kind of critical work about that tool. And so we really had a whole kind of stifling of the ability for people to communicate test automation ideas. So that was really what I was focused on. I had I have a whole seminar that I used to teach where I tried to teach concepts, and I realized that it was very difficult for me to teach these different automation concepts, like about when to use data-driven testing and different ways of organizing your data-driven testing and things like that without having working implementations. So that was just pushing me to try to find ways to share these ideas. I assumed that my intent really with water was to create something that would have been originally just a reference language, something that we could use for training purposes, for publication purposes. I've actually been quite surprised that it's become so commercial and that people are using it, in day-to-day, production testing, and that has withstood so much usage. It really wasn't the original intent, so it's been quite a surprise.
Why did you choose Windows and Internet Explorer? It seems like a funny choice, strange choice for an open source project.
Well, the goal, again, wasn't to be open source. We were against commercial. The goal was just to come up with something that we could demonstrate techniques for automating tests. And so what I did is I did the simplest thing that I could do. And at that point, I knew of dozens of people who had built little homegrown testing tools around the COM interface to IE. So and so I knew it was very possible. It was very much well-known technology, and so that was, what we focused on and using. And it was the easiest thing to do at that time. And so, and like I said, it wasn't. Our goal wasn't to be anti-Microsoft. It wasn't to be against commercial software. There was really nothing religious about it. It wasn't even our goal to necessarily be against commercial tools. The goal was to be able to have a way to really share our ideas in a substantive way. And so using IE at that time was completely supported that. Most people were still on Windows. It allowed us to share our ideas and to share what we knew very effectively.
One of the things when I talk with people about water, they always say, oh, I would use it, but I use only Linux or Firefox, or I can't use it on Windows or Internet Explorer. So does water work on other operating systems, browsers, programming languages?
Well, as I mentioned before, there is the FireWater code base, and we're working with that. That FireWater works with Firefox, and it works with Firefox on Windows, on Mac, and on Linux.
Yeah, there's also Safari Water, right? That works on Mac.
There is Safari Water. I know there's some activity on it. I don't think it's as advanced as FireWater is right now. So I think it's still a lot of experimental interest. I haven't heard reports that it's, you know, about how good it is. I haven't had a chance to try it out because I don't have a Mac, although I just put an order in yesterday, and so I'll be getting one soon. So I'll be probably finding out more after that.
We are near the end. Do you want to say anything more about your company?
Yeah, I think I explained it before what we're trying to do and what you're doing. You know, the company is about supporting water, and I think a lot of people see it. And for a lot of people, they've been very successful with it. They've been able to get engaged with the community and get involved and, you know, been helping out in all kinds of things. But I think there's other people who are looking for a little bit more support, a little bit, you want to have a company that they want to see that there's a company standing behind it. They want to know that they're not going to have to figure out so much on their own. And so that's really, you know, that's really what we're looking at. That's what we're going to be doing, providing that kind of support, making it easier for people to get up and running, with water. So we've just formed the company and the first thing we're focusing on right now is just helping all the FireWater project, because we see that as the biggest strategic issue for it. So we don't really have, much in the way of product announcements to make right now or not, but we will be announcing more as time goes on.
Do you want to say anything else before the end?
Well, sure. I just wanted to thank you for talking to me in this podcast, and I think this is a great way to get information out. I do try to write more, but often I write drafts and then I don't seem to finish them. So hopefully this will help get the word out about what we're doing with water, and I really appreciate you taking the initiative and contacting me on this.
Oh, I'm just crazy about podcasts. Where can people find you?
Well, I've got all kinds of places. The best place is the Water Generalist. I do read the stuff that goes on in there, and when people have questions about water, that's the best place to take them. I have a blog which is at a very difficult to find URL. Which maybe we'll put on the web page to make sure people get it right. I've got the new company and the old website which had my consulting business on it. So there's a lot of different ways that they can find me.
Okay, we'll put links. My blog is at jelikofilipin.com. You'll also find a link. Thanks for listening to Water Podcast. Thank you, Brett, for being here today. We hope to be back in a week or two. Bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.